Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out on his choke cord. But it's no Hulk bar, middle finger like I'm Stone Cold. What is up, y'all? It's your boy, We Too Deep. And we are back with another episode of the Slap and Meat Wrestling Podcast. This is going to be an episode that we're not going to break down WrestleMania. I'm not going to break down everything. We're not going to go down match for match. I'm doing that tonight with DJ Wavy D. I was going to do this episode before Raw last night. Never got the opportunity to record it till this morning. So you are going to get two Tuesday episodes and a Friday episode this week. So that brings me to the next thing. I'm not going to do the Sunday episodes anymore. It's just a lot of time to plan around different things. And you'll get the Tuesday episodes, me and Wavy D. You'll get a Friday episode. And we'll keep it at that, unless there are like major things that need to be addressed on a Sunday episode, then maybe on a rare occasion, you'll get Sunday episodes again. But if we jump into this one, this isn't going to break down night one, night two, which was better. That'll happen tonight when Wavy D's on screen with me. This is solely a Wee Too Deep rant. Express how I feel about the ending of night two. And we'll probably definitely talk about this more with Wavy D, but I have to give my personal opinion, right? I have to just get this out of the way and address this, because this is what I believe is the major issue in WWE right now. This storyline, the John Cena storyline, is the one of the worst things in wrestling right now, in my opinion. Now, and it's not John Cena's fault. I don't hate John Cena's minimalistic entrance. I think that was pretty cool. I don't hate John Cena's slower style. You have to run that as a heel. I get it. That part's fine. I get that he said he's going to ruin wrestling. That's fine. But the issue is that all of this is happening within a perceived storyline of him selling out to The Rock. Now I'm recording this April 22nd. That being said, so we've had from March 1st at the Elimination Chamber to April 22nd since John Cena was perceived on TV to have joined a faction with The Rock. And in that time span, in almost 2 months, The Rock has not shown back up. There has been zero mention from John Cena as to why he's joined The Rock. And it's the most glaring, gaping plot hole in WWE, and shall I say, in wrestling at this time. This is the worst thing happening in wrestling. I would say even worse than John Moxley's world title reign, and some may say that's an overreaction. I don't think it is. because we're supposed to be telling stories here. And we have this narrative being told by content creators. And well, let me say it this way. I find peace. I'm typically not, well, if the IWC believes that, I must believe it type of person. But I find peace knowing that the content creators that I trust. Now, there are going to be those, and I'm calling out names. I'm not afraid to call out names, right? There are going to be those like Con Man, who, great reactor. So here's the thing. I don't like reactors, especially the ones that show up on WWE's, on Raw or SmackDown a lot, because I know they're getting paid by WWE to react the way they're reacting, right? And so you got someone like Con Man who comes out here, and it's like, oh, I found how the ending was pretty good. It was a pretty good ending. No, it wasn't, Con Man. You're getting paid to say that. And if you believe it, that's fine. But it doesn't seem genuine when we know you're getting paid by WWE, right? Guys like Santi, I get it. He's one of those reactors that end up on there. So I'm not the biggest, like, I don't listen to Santi, but I feel like his opinion is a little bit less biased. But I'll be honest with you. People give JD a hard time. If y'all need to go listen to his 9-minute rant on the ending of WrestleMania, because here's what I like about JD. In the last month, he's had a 9-minute rant on the ending of Dynamite and a 9-minute ending on the ending of Mania. He complains, if you want to call it complaining. He critiques both shows equally. And that's how I am. I've always said whenever a show sucks, I'm going to call it out. And this ending was absolutely abysmal. And for the people who are like, well, this is just the start of a... No. This wasn't a start. This perceived storyline of The Rock and this perceived, you know, we were putting pieces together. This started back in October with Bad Blood, where he wrote himself into the show. Did the little threes up thing. And then walked away. And then he wrote himself into January 6th, Monday Night Raw debut on Netflix. Put over Cody Rhodes for whatever reason. And then walked away. And then he wrote himself into a few weeks before Elimination Chamber and tells Cody Rhodes, I want you to be my champion, but I want more than that. I want your soul. And when you say a line like that, there has to be a payoff. And so we get to the Elimination Chamber and Cody says, go fuck yourself, Rock. And John Cena turns, and we appear to be getting this big faction. With Dwayne and Cena. And right, and they never explicitly said a third man. That was, I'm not even upset that a third man didn't appear at Mania. Because I've, in my fantasy booking of this, I don't have the third man appearing until SummerSlam. So that's not why I'm pissed off. What I'm pissed off is that everything that I just laid out to you, completely hinges on, it's completely hinged upon The Rock. And if he's not going to show up, Dwayne, if you're not going to show up to the show of all shows to give us some sort of payoff, don't involve yourself. We don't want you back. And this is where I differ from a majority of the casual audience. I differ from a majority of the casual audience in that I don't like nostalgia booking. I don't see The Rock as a useful product because of some Attitude Era nostalgia. The Rock did not have a long enough career for me to consider him one of the GOATs. Bro was here for like 4 years. He's not one of the GOATs to me. He's not on my Mount Rushmore. I don't care about The Rock. Right? Prior to him getting involved in the Bloodline and this final boss gimmick, when The Rock would show up and the music hit, it was cool, but it wasn't one of those things that I needed. And now I'm at the point where I don't want to see Dwayne Johnson on the screen ever again. If you're going to insert yourself into the very creative fabric of WWE and change literal storylines, because John Cena winning number 17 should not have gone into the history books with the asterisk, with the help of Travis Scott. I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. That is bad booking, solely because The Rock doesn't commit to the full plan, right? And what I'll be told is, what you'll be told or what people will tell you is, you just got to be patient. Now, we've been patient for 6 months for a payoff to whatever you tried to start at Bad Blood. And The Rock will tell you to stop complaining. Triple H will tell you to stop complaining. Nick Khan will tell you, the internet fans, we don't listen to them. All they do is complain. As if the internet fans and the fans in the stadium aren't the same people. Like, where do you think the people in the stadium are going to go to discuss what they just watched? And then you'll be told, oh, no, I know 50 people who don't have, wow, such anecdotal evidence. You know 50 people, but I promise you, 75 to 80% of all people who go to wrestling shows will leave that wrestling show and hop on X and discuss what they just saw. That's the reality of the situation. Casual fans may not be on social media, but the hardcore fans. So the WrestleMania crowd, the WrestleMania fans may not be there because you've outpriced your hardcore audience who loves the product and wants to discuss it. But guys, I promise you, the fans online are the fans. Should we listen to them about everything? No. I mean, they're out here complaining about God knows what right now. They're complaining about Paul Heyman being a heel on the Pat McAfee show. Right? And that's a different conversation. We'll probably talk about that Friday. Right? Excuse me. My biggest issue with WrestleMania, right? And I would have given this show, right? Night one wasn't the best. I think JD summed it up. Night one was a show that was carried by its main event. It was saved by its main event. I don't think anything before the first six matches of night one weren't anything special, but it gets saved by one of the best main events in WrestleMania history. Night two comes in. Now, there's a lot of people who thought that. So for me, the first four matches of night two were absolute bangers. Up to that point, that show would have probably gotten like a 9 out of 10. And we'll go over that tonight, a reason why I don't agree or why I don't think it was like a 10 out of 10 like most casual fans did up to that point. The first four matches were excellent, though, like banger after banger after banger after banger. I know a lot of people liked AJ Styles versus Logan Paul. I'll break down why I wasn't the biggest fan of it. The tag match, absolutely a disgrace now that we know what happened on Monday Night Raw. I'll rant on that a little bit later tonight. But my point is being coming into the main event, we probably had like an 8 out of 10 show. And this main event absolutely blew shit. Was right. The match was sloppy. It was slow. It was methodical. Like I said, I get why Cena ran the style he ran. That wasn't my issue, though. My issue was that WWE said, oh, we're in Vegas again. Oh, man, we got to do a worse ending than WrestleMania 9. For those who don't know, WrestleMania 9's main event was Bret Hart versus Yokozuna for the title. Yoko beat Bret for the title. And for some reason, for whatever booking decision this was, Hulk Hogan then got in the ring in a match he wasn't in and pinned Yokozuna in like 15 seconds and won the title. The one of the worst, first off, WrestleMania 9 is the worst WrestleMania of all time. I know a lot of people want to put 27 there. That was the Snooki WrestleMania. I know a lot of people want to put 27 there. That was pretty bad. But go back and watch WrestleMania 9. This was the worst of Undertaker's streak matches. Bro, Undertaker fought Giant Gonzalez, which is all you needed to know. And he won the match by DQ after being knocked out by chloroform. Right? The stupidest match ever. This was the right, and the best match of the night was Shawn Michaels versus Tatanka, and that wasn't even like a banger at all. It was a decent match. That was the worst WrestleMania of all time. WrestleMania 9 in Las Vegas at Caesar's Palace, right? So WWE says, we're here. We're at WrestleMania 49. It's been 30 something years. How do we do a worse finish to a WrestleMania? I know Travis Scott will cost Cody Rhodes the title. I would have been okay if no one showed up. I would have been a little bit disappointed that The Rock wasn't there. But no one in their mind asked for Travis Scott to be involved in this story. One iota. No one wanted him. Travis Scott. So what you're telling me is that the man, Travis Scott, right, came into the ring, and I get it, it was the distraction angle, but Cody doesn't beat Travis Scott. That ending was awful. Right? This was the man that ended Roman Reigns' 1,300-plus day reign. This was the man who is Mr. Superman, and he loses because of Travis Scott. It's a difference if he comes out and The Rock shows up and comes out and distracts Cody and Cena hits him with the belt. No one's complaining about the match. Everyone is complaining about the fact that no show Dwayne, no showed again. He inserts himself into the creative process, into the script, and then doesn't show up on the show of shows to give us the payoff. Oh, well, they just gave you Travis Scott. That's the next best. Guys, go to a restaurant. Right, and I want to put this in perspective here, right? I want to put this in perspective, right? The fans paid a lot of money to go to this show. So, right? So imagine going to a five-star Michelin star restaurant, right? The top of the top, right? You're paying big money to go here. It's the best restaurant in the world on the bit, right? And it's a special occasion. And you went there because you had this assumption on this big night that you were going to get the best steak possible, right? When I think of like five-star food, like I think of steak. I'm not a fancy person, so steak to me is fancy food, right? But, you know, you go to like a five-star steakhouse, and you're going to get the best cut of steak you've ever eaten. And you only do this once, and you're probably going to go into debt eating here, right? Just like you're going to have to go into debt to go to WrestleMania. And you get there, and you get to your main course, and the hors d'oeuvres, the appetizers, that were decent. That's night one. Your main course was great, right? That's the beginning of that's the main event in the beginning of night two. The first four matches of night two were your main course, right? You had a very good main course, right? And you chose this restaurant because they've marketed themselves as having the greatest dessert to finish a meal of all time. Right. The greatest, you know, let's say, you know, I don't know what fancy people put on their put on menus. Let's just say it's some type of cake. Right. Let's just say it's some type of cake. Doesn't matter what it is. Right. And you get there and you get to the finish of the night. And they bring out the dessert and it's the big moment. This is what everyone paid to see. This is what everyone paid to eat. This is why you're going out and you just had a great, you had a great meal, right? Wasn't the best to you, right? But it was a 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10 meal. Right? It was a banger. And then dessert comes, the last thing you'll eat of the night, and dessert comes and you're salivating because you've been promised the best dessert you'll ever eat in your life. And you bite into it. And instead of being some fancy cake, it's cake from Walmart. And you bring out the chef and he said, well, we were promised this. That's why we came here. And they said, ah, yeah, you see, we didn't have that in the kitchen. So we gave you what we had. We gave you what was next best. But I didn't want next best. I could have gotten this and didn't have to pay a shit ton of money for the rest of the meal. It was a good meal, but I didn't, right? We came for the dessert. We came for the last thing because we were told that it was the greatest thing ever and you didn't deliver. That's what this is like, right? When the breadcrumbs all lead to WrestleMania and The Rock playing in some way, shape, or form in this supposed storyline, right? Because let me just tell you, what happened on Sunday night? The main event of WrestleMania 40, completely meaningless. Cody Rhodes, what I would call mediocre 370 plus day reign as world champion, completely meaningless. Completely meaningless. John Cena turning heel at Elimination Chamber at this point has been completely meaningless. The heel gimmick for Cena was fine. He did, but again, as I said earlier, there's a gaping plot hole. Why did you join The Rock? There's a gaping plot hole here. Look, I wanted Cena to win. I predicted Cena to win. I'm happy Cena won. But let me tell you something about John Cena as a heel. It's not believable. Not only is there a gaping plot hole, right? So I'm going to, and I'm going to say this again tonight probably. I stand convinced, and this is what I always talk about, Triple H books for shock moments, right? Triple H gives us shock moments, right? He gave you a little bit of a refuel. You know, I said he fed you with the heel turn and a very banger Elimination Chamber. Very great event, by the way. He gave you all the food until what supposedly Money in the Bank is what I said, right? I think he stopped here and he said, hey, we're gonna give you a snack or two. We got fed with some very good matches. But when I say fed, I mean storylines that lead to more storylines. And that's the issue with this WrestleMania weekend, including last night's Raw, which I thought the last 2 hours of were very good. I think it started slow. But even as a whole, there was very little storyline, in my opinion, that got pushed, that got built. And again, Cena doesn't tell us the why. And I said this on Twitter, until John Cena tells me why he joined The Rock, I don't care that he's in the ring. And again, this just feels like it's John Cena versus the fans. And that's not the feud we want. Cool. Randy Orton RKO'd him. Guys, I could have told you that RKO versus John Cena was going to be the match at Backlash in St. Louis. Could have told you that. But a story wasn't built here. And sure, did it lay a foundation for a potential story? I get it. But none of that matters until you fill the gaping plot hole in the foundation of this storyline, of this character that is The Rock, and why John Cena joined The Rock. It's sort of like I'm being treated the same way I was when I told you guys that there's a gaping plot hole in the Wyatt Six gimmick and what they're doing here, why they're there, why they did what they did to Chad Gable that we still haven't figured out, by the way. And I told you, and there are gaping plot holes that until they get filled, I don't care about the gimmick. And then they sort of just went away, right? Now, they're not going to go away with John Cena. He's going to go away at the end of the year. But there's a gaping plot hole. And this, right, I'm a storyline-driven wrestling fan. A lot of casual fans act like they're storyline-driven casual fans when all they want, right? But there's also a lot of casual fans who will suck off Triple H just as much as my brother Junkyard James sucks off Tony Khan. Anything Triple H does, there's an excuse for. We can't blame The Rock. You know, this was the next best thing. Be patient. No, big dog. I've been patient for 6 months, and there's no payoff. I'm done being patient. And fans have the right to complain about things on TV that don't make sense. No matter what Triple H says, no matter what Nick Khan says, fans have a right to complain. But you're too negative. You bring the party down. Well, give me a good show. That's all I'm asking for. My critique of the product is strictly because I know this could have been better. I know this ending could have been better. All it would have taken was Dwayne to walk out there. No one asked for Travis Scott. Oh, but no one told you that The Rock would... No. They did tell me The Rock was supposed to be here. Because he showed up at Bad Blood and did the threes. He showed up on Netflix debut and inserted himself back into Cody Rhodes' storyline. He showed up weeks before Elimination Chamber and said, Cody, I want your soul. And just like whoever tweets for Nightcap, Shannon Sharp and Ocho's podcast, whoever does the tweeting for that, I'm assuming it's Shannon. Just like he said, if you're going to have some ultra-dramatic line like Cody Rhodes, I want your soul, there better be a payoff to that storyline. And that payoff had to have happened on the show of shows when it mattered. Because now The Rock coming out and attacking Cody or whatever, it means nothing. It means nothing. Just like a match between Roman and Rock that everyone still thinks is going to happen, it means nothing. John Cena did not have to turn heel. And I'm going to live by that. John Cena did not have to turn heel. John Cena would have been better suited winning number 17 by defeating Gunther. Jey Uso would have been better suited by beating Cody Rhodes. I will live by that. 100%. I will live on that hill. I will die on that hill. But the hill that I'm definitely going to die on is this. Dwayne, you're dead to me, big dog. I'm almost to the point of not watching the main roster as it is. Raw's good. I'll watch Raw. I like Raw, but I'm going to watch the SmackDown after Mania on Friday. And we'll give it a shot. But if it's anything like SmackDown was on the build to Mania, I'm not watching SmackDown no more. I got better things to do with my time. I'll stick with NXT. Right. When I made the episode on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon and said that NXT set the bar, they really did. And guess what? The bar was met with the main event of night one, with the starter match of night two. Those were the best two matches of the weekend. And I have an opinion on the starter of night two that I'm going to say tonight. Y'all were definitely going to want to listen to this episode with me and Wavy D as we break down night one, night two, and the Raw after Mania. I don't get it. I don't get it. Dwayne couldn't show up for 5 minutes to sell the storyline. He's not committed to it. And I'm with this with anyone in WWE. If you are in a storyline and you're not committed, I don't want you here. The fans don't deserve to be completely disrespected, is how I look at it. You disrespected the fans by not showing up. Dwayne does not care about the fans. He cares about his ego. He cares about his brand. He cares about his money. And he's laughing in Hawaii, counting the money that him and the board of directors got from this weekend. And Triple H will come out, and Nick Khan and the executives will come out, and they'll put out a press release or something about how this was the biggest gate we've ever had in WrestleMania history. Well, yeah, when you inflate the prices to outprice your normal fans and then bring in a bunch of celebrities and put people in crippling debt because wrestling fans, quite honestly, are sheep and will go wherever you tell them to go and they will pay the prices that you tell them to pay. And you have 30 events in a four-day weekend. Yeah, you're going to make the most money that you ever made. But that's the fear that a lot of people, including myself, had when TKO bought the product, that it was strictly going to be a means to an end. Now, look, y'all, TKO, Endeavor, they spent like $9 billion, right, to buy WWE. They're going to have to make a profit somehow on that, right? That's why the prices are going up, right? Now, Here's what I got to say about that, right? You're coming back to New Orleans next year. Price is going to be just as high. You're planning on coming to an Orlando in a couple years, from what I've heard. Are the prices going to be just as high? Probably. But don't expect, like, Vegas was fine because that's a tourist trap of a city. And then, I mean, so is New Orleans. But New Orleans isn't, you know, Vegas, right? I don't know if my fear is that TKO, being money hungry like they are, is what's going to kill the WWE. 100% believe that. I 100% believe that will be the only thing that will kill the WWE, is that eventually fans are going to say, we're tired of this. The booking's not good. All you care about is the money. We're done watching. Right? I don't want it to sound like I'm negative on Mania, because like I said, I thought most of Mania, like I always say, if we put together the two nights, you can typically pick out a 10 out of 10 Mania. So we have 14 matches. You could probably take about 7 matches. Shit, you could probably even do 10 and get a banger Mania, right? You know, if you have Bianca, Io Rhea, Damian Drew, the Fatal 4-Way, Randy Orton segment with Joe Hendry. I'm not going to break these down, but I think those four were really good. You main event it with the Punk, Rollins, Roman. You put on trying to think of what else you could put on this show. I mean, even Logan Paul and AJ Styles was serviceable enough to be put on here. LA Knight, Jacob Fatu could be on here. I'm trying to think of what else was good in night one that I liked. I think Gunther and Jay was a serviceable, was actually a really good match. So that's eight. But I think if you did those eight matches right there, you had a banger mania, right? There were a couple matches. The women's tag team didn't need to be there. The men's tag team didn't need to be there. That the main event of night two should not have been on the card. It was it, that right there destroyed WrestleMania to me. Again, it's the last thing you had to taste about WrestleMania weekend, and it was bitter and it ended bad. It was a shit sandwich with it was a shit cake with shit icing on top of it. And you're going to have the WWE weirdos, apologists, and the hardcore IWC and on the casual side, because they both exist. These people who just anything Triple H does, you got to give a pass for. Anything, the Dwayne gets a pass for never showing up. Triple H gets a pass for doing exactly the same thing that AEW does. Triple H gets a pass this Monday, the Monday after Raw, because it's the Monday after Raw, that he could just do the same exact thing that Tony Khan does on a week-to-week basis and book random matches with zero storyline. Look, as much as I love Stephanie Vaquer, guys, y'all know I love Stephanie Vaquer. I love Stephanie Vaquer. Y'all know that. As much as I appreciate her and her abilities and her being on screen, and I absolutely, when her music hit, I was confused for a minute because I was like, this sounds familiar. There was zero reason for her to be on Monday Night Raw last night to fight Io Sky. The Monday after Raw should have just been, we got 3 weeks till Backlash. And instead of laying foundations for storylines for Backlash, we just did matches for the sake of matches. We did surprises for the sake of surprises. Look, I love that Rusev is back. But he came back during a tag team segment. You couldn't find a single person in the back. Some enhancement guys, you had the entire indie, every big name indie star in the industry was in Vegas this past weekend. You couldn't have contacted one of them and said, hey, can you stay on Monday? We need you to be beaten up in the ring in an enhancement match for Rusev. You couldn't have done it. You couldn't have found one of your Evolve guys. You couldn't have, you know, you brought up every NXT woman that matters. You couldn't bring up, you know, an NXT dude or someone from Evolve to get the ass kicked by Russo. You had to interrupt the tag team segment to do that, right? Random shit that happened all night long last night for zero reason. The exact way that Tony Khan books AEW Dynamite every single week is what we got last night. And the weirdos in the IWC that like suck off Triple H and the casual fans who suck off Triple H. I love the CWC, y'all, but some of y'all give Triple H way too many passes as being a great. If I have to see one more time, oh, Triple H has brought you back, didn't he? Triple H's book. No, he's not, bro. He's not Booker of the Year. Broski got saved by a lot of these matches. But to come out there, and I'm not even going to give Triple H it's Dwayne's fault. All of this blame is on Dwayne, yes. But Triple H, bruh. aren't you head creative? I get Rock's on the board, but you can't like overpower him and say, bro, I'm the head of creative. Stay in your role. Stay on the board of directors. And if you're not going to be committed, don't come back. That's what I would have done. Because you're making my job a living hell right now, Dwayne. It's exactly what I would have told him. Either you show up, or I'm not putting your storyline on my television show. Because I gotta write right. I'm over this shit, man. I am. There was a point when John Cena came out, right, and I knew he would start the episode. When he came out and he cut the same boring ass promo that he always cuts that we saw. He's had five or four promo. This was the, that was his fifth. That was his fifth promo. That was his fifth promo since turning heel. And four of the five have been against the fans. He's had one promo where he fully directed his energy towards an opponent, which was Cody Rhodes. It's the feud John Cena versus the fans. He talks about being in this relationship, and it's a 25-year abusive. John, are you trying to say something here? Are you being abused in your marriage? Bro, the promo's boring, bro. We've heard that four times already. Y'all can like John Cena if you want. Right? Before he turned heel, I hated John Cena because he was corny. All right, after the turn, I was like, I could finally cheer for John Cena. There's a little bit of this aggression that I liked in early John Cena, back in John Cena. And now we just get, this is the most forced, lazy heel work I've ever seen in my life. Ariel Helwani summed it up pretty good, right? And I want to, we've had two major heel turns in the last 2 months. John Cena and now Paul Heyman turned evil again, right? Now with Paul Heyman goes out and he goes on the Pat McAfee show and he acts in character. John Cena turns heel and he goes and does meet and greets with a smile on his face like nothing's changed. The Rock goes heel and he goes to the press conference and acts like nothing happened. He turns character mode off, right? Paul Heyman becomes heel and says some very, very interesting things on the Pat McAfee show. And I can 110% believe every single word that he says. John Cena comes out and talks about the fans and how he doesn't care about us anymore. And then I remember he just did a meet and greet that Monday morning with a smile on his face, handshaking every fan that walked up to him. It's very hard to believe that Dwayne and John Cena are the bad guys in this story when every time they're off camera, and I know kayfabe's dead, and I don't, right, but this is where this is acting. There is a difference, right? When I'll say it this way. When I go to Comic-Con, I don't go to Comic-Con because I'm not a weirdo, but if I were to go to Comic-Con to meet Darth Vader, I would expect whoever is playing Darth Vader to act as Darth Vader in character, right? When I go to a meet and greet to meet John Cena, the expectation is that John Cena acts in character, right? My favorite, you know, Stephanie Vaquer. Now, Vaquer doesn't really have a gimmick. Let's just be honest. I get it. She's solely popular for her wrestling style. If I were to go to WWE or to a meet and greet to meet El Grande Americano, right? I would expect him to act in character because that's what I'm going for. I don't care about the dude behind the mask, right? If I were to go and meet Dominic Mysterio, I know Dominic Mysterio is not a dickhead in real life. I know he, bro's chill as shit. I know that shit. But if I were to go to a meet and greet to meet Dominic Mysterio, I want to meet Dirty Dom. I want to meet Heel Dom. I want to meet Dickhead Dom. Right? I don't want to meet the nice little boy behind the character. I don't care about him. Right? John Cena should have done these meet and greets with the most stoic expression, where he doesn't move and he's just staring at the camera, and people point up and they get beside him. Imagine having heel John Cena meet and greet photos. That's something worth $400, where he's just the same stoic, emotionless guy waiting for everyone to finish, and so he can go home. That would have been a great photo, but a handshake and a thank you for coming and a smile on my face while you're playing a heel, right? I expect you, if I pay to see you in character, to be in character. That's not me asking for kayfabe. That's me just asking you to play your character. That, right? Isn't that what meet and greets are about? Is to meet the character? Right? I just... This storyline is awful. And we need some sort of conclusion here with John Cena. We either have to get him... We have to address The Rock sometime on TV. We either get Cena out of The Rock group, or because heel John Cena works. It does. This John Cena heel turn works. The only thing that is pissing me off about this whole thing is, why did he join The Rock? So either you have him leave The Rock's group now that he is 17, or you address why he joined The Rock. That's all I'm asking for. That's literally the only thing I'm asking for, is that we make sense as to why Elimination Chamber happened. So many wrestling fans have an amnesia when it comes to storytelling, where they forget very important details to storytelling when it's convenient for them to forget about them. Why did Elimination Chamber happen? Why did you sell your soul, John Cena? That's the question everyone needs answered. That's the question. That should be the fundamental thing that you tell us. That's the most important detail to this entire story, that, again, is entirely predicated and hinged upon The Rock showing up on TV. That's my critique of WrestleMania's main event. That's my critique for that. All right, y'all. I'm going to go ahead and end this one. I'm going to go do a hard 8 hours at work. And then come back tonight, record another episode with DJ Wavy D, where we will break down match by match everything that happened WrestleMania Night 1, Night 2, and the Raw after Mania. And we'll break all that down tonight. Some more hot takes, I'm sure, will come out of it. Wavy D was in Vegas watching this, so I'm sure he has a unique experience. And then tune in Friday. I'm not exactly certain what I'm going to rant about yet on Friday. I'm sure something will happen. But I had to get this out before me and Wavy D's episode so that you guys knew where I stood on this main event. Because I'm going to let Wavy D talk about it, and we'll discuss it a little bit more. But with the Wavy D episodes, I don't like, y'all see, this is an hour-long thing. We don't have that amount of time for me to fully go in to talk about everything I actually feel with this shit, right? So I appreciate y'all for listening. This has been the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, We Too Deep, and until next time, I'll see y'all later. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Me Wrestling every Tuesday.